This is Radio TAB Australia.
And to review the weekend in golf with all the scores, here's Bruce Young. Good morning, Brucey.
Morning to you, Regis. Yes, it has been a big weekend, that's for sure. There's still quite a lot going on, too, with the LPGA Tour event, the PGA Tour event, and also the event in the, on the Nationwide Tour. Just completed, in fact, I can tell you now that Mark Leishman from Victoria has won the Nationwide Tour event in Midland in Texas. Not only did he win, but he created the greatest winning margin ever. Well, he shares the greatest winning margin ever. He won by 11 shots this morning, an unbelievable performance. Rounds of 67, 66, 66, and 68. And that will take him to within probably a couple of $1,000 of being assured of his PGA Tour status next season, Mark Leishman. He's won a few times on the Von Ryder Tour and won, I think, a couple of events in Korea. But this is a great opportunity for him. He led virtually the whole way. And as I said, he's run out the winner by a massive 11 shots over Keegan Kopner, with Aaron Price from New South Wales finishing third, Greg Chalmers sharing fourth, also in fourth, in a share of fourth was Won Joon Lee, and Cameron Percy from Victoria started the final round in third place, eventually finished eighth, but not a bad week for Cameron Percy, who finished second at his last start a few weeks ago on the Nationwide Tour. But congratulations to Mark Leishman, now sharing, I guess, the honours as having the equal greatest winning margin. He bogeyed two of his last four holes also, so that margin could have been even greater, but I'm sure he'll be very, very happy with what he's achieved, because, as I said, he's virtually now assured of his PGA Tour status in 2009.
Bruce, it wasn't a case of Mark Leishman taking the advantage over other golfers. You're right. He had rounds of 67, 66, 66, and 68. So he was always the front runner, and to win by 11 strokes is just an enormous victory for him.
Yeah, I mean, as we said, the margin was huge, and 10 under par, which the second place player, Keegan Kopner, had indicated that it's a golf course that's not a snack by any stretch of the imagination, but he's just blitzed them the whole week. He's a very, very talented player, always has been a very talented player, Mark Leishman. And he's really just started to find his feet on the Nationwide Tour in the United States this year, and I think this really just highlights what a classy player he's going to be, or what a classy player already is, but certainly what a classy player he's going to be. So, as I said, he's won a few Von Ryder Tour events, but this is something very special, and more special because of the fact that he accesses the PGA Tour, and that's the holy grail of tournament golf. I suppose in most ways the PGA Tour of the United States, and opens up all sorts of opportunities for him next year. I think it appears to me China says how much is going to be needed at the completion of the Nationwide Tour in a couple of weeks' time, in about 3 weeks' time. It does look to me like it's going to be somewhere around about $195,000 to $200,000 to be inside the top 25, and I think that win will take him to around about $197,000 or thereabouts. So by my calculations, it's probably good enough to get the job done, but at the Tour Championship, which he's now guaranteed of getting a start in a few weeks' time, where they take the top 60, I think it is, to the Tour Championship, you're guaranteed a last place prize money of about $3,000 or $4,000 for finishing last year. So that will take him probably close to and maybe beyond the $200,000 mark. And so he's virtually a lay down there to have his PGA Tour card. So well done to him, and well done to Aaron Price, because by finishing third, Aaron Price virtually now assures himself of PGA Tour status in 2009. So we'll have the likes of Jared Lowell, Greg Chalmers, Mark Leishman, and Aaron Price all now advancing to the PGA Tour as a result of their success on the Nationwide Tour this season.
Yeah, that was a terrific result for Mark Leishman, and he deserves all the good fortune that comes his way, Bruce. Let's just jump to the Long's Drugs Challenge event for the ladies in California, and it's a tight event at the moment, Bruce, with In Kyung Kim, a two-stroke leader over Angela Stanford. In Kyung Kim is at 10 under for the tournament. Angela Stanford is at 8 under.
Yes, well, this is In Kyung Kim, obviously a Korean girl. She hasn't won on the LPGA Tour. She's into her second season, I think, now. She has a two-shot lead, as you suggested, over Angela Stanford, who's played pretty well of late. And Yanni Singh, they're only through 7 holes of their final round, bearing in mind that this has been played in California, just east of San Francisco. So there's still quite a few holes left for these players that are trailing In Kyung Kim at the moment for them to make up that ground, more especially given the fact that Ink and Kim will have to tolerate the dangers of losing a lead in her very first chance to win a big tournament. She's got her second once before, so I guess she's been in contention before, but this is a great opportunity for her, and whether she feels the pressure over the closing stages remains to be seen. But certainly Yani Ting, the brilliant young Taiwanese player, her rookie season, is currently in third position at 7-under and just 3 back, so with 10 or 11 holes still to play, there's a lot can happen there. Lorena Ochoa is back at 5-under. She just picked up a birdie at the night to move to 5-under. So a strong finish by her could still have her in the mix. The best of the Australians is Sarah Kemp, who's in her rookie season on the LPGA Tour. She's quite some way down the money list. She's about 125th or thereabouts on the money list. So she needs a couple of good finishes in the next few events. They'll play in Kapalua next week. I think she'll probably get a start there, but she won't get a start in the events that they play in Asia because they're co-sanctioned and they restrict the amount of LPGA Tour players in those fields. So it's an important week for Sarah Kemp to be able to pick up maybe two or three birdies over the closing stages of her round and get into maybe a top three or four position. But she's certainly the best of the Australians there, Sarah Kemp. But still quite a bit to happen there over the closing stages of that tournament because, as I said, still 10 or 11 holes for the leaders to play there.
Yeah. Now, Bruce, I'm having a little trouble with the computer. It keeps freezing up on me with the PGA Tour event in Valero. But last time I looked, Charlie Wee and Zach Johnson were joint leaders with a number of holes still to play, both of those golfers at minus 14.
Yes, in fact, Charlie Wee is through 12 holes. He's at 14 under. He currently shares the lead with Zach Johnson. Stephen Ames produced a final round of 62 there to get to 13 under. Wasn't able to pick up the final birdie or two that he needed, probably to get to 14 or 15 under, which is probably going to be the winning score, bearing in mind that Zach Johnson has only played 6 holes. So, I mean, it could conceivably be even greater than 15 under that is the winning score. But at this stage, Charlie Wee and Zach Johnson, Charlie Wee through 12 holes, Zach Johnson through 6 holes, they're both at 14 under. They lead by a shot from Stephen Ames, who's completed his tournament at 13 under. Pat Perez through 16 holes is at 13 under. Chris Stroud, one of the early leaders in the tournament, he's at 13 under through 8 holes. Mark Wilson is 13 under through 8 holes. And Tim Wilkinson, the New Zealander, is at 13 under through 8 holes. The left-handed New Zealander in his rookie season on the PGA Tour, doing very well, really. He's already picked up about 750,000. In order for him to finish inside the top 125, which is the amount of players they take through and give that are able to retain their status on the PGA for 2009, He's probably going to need another 70,000 or so. So this is a very good opportunity for Tim Wilkinson to not only do that, but possibly, conceivably, win the tournament. So he's going very well. Steve Allen continues some very good form of late. He's been third, fourth, and now looks like he's going to finish around about 14th or 15th in this event. He's finished with the final round of 64. And Mark Hensby is also in 14th position. He's through 11 holes, so he's got a chance to make up a bit of ground also. The round of the day, really, from an Australian perspective, was that of Steve Elkington, who shot 61. Mm. In fact, the final 9 holes of 28 for Steve Elkington, an unbelievable finish there. There's been some low scoring in this tournament, I've got to say. Nathan Green opened up the tournament with a first round of 62, which could well have been a bit lower because he bogeyed the 17th and missed a very makeable chance to last. But he's Nathan Green's finished in around about 30th position. He followed up that round of 62 with 75-70 and then a 66 today. So some very low scoring at the La Cantera Golf Course in San Antonio. But still quite a way to go, as we now know that Zach Johnson has just picked up a birdie at the 7th to move to 15-under. So he currently leads on his own at the moment by a shot over Charlie Wee with that fairly large group at the 13-under. Stephen Ames, Pat Perez, Chris Stroud, Mark Wilson and Tim Wilkinson.
Yeah, Bruce, when we left the show on Friday morning, Nathan Green was the first round leader and showed great signs that he would be there when the whips were cracking today, but it wasn't to be. That second round of 75 was obviously very disappointing for him. What did you make of his round?
Well, his form this year has been a roller coaster. I had the opportunity to speak with Nathan a bit because I write for his website, greenygolf.com, and I can tell you he's been down on himself quite a bit this year and been very frustrated with his game. So in many ways, the 62 was a bit of a bolt out of the blue. He has played a little bit better over the last few weeks, I have to say. So whilst the 62 might have appeared completely out of the blue, there was a little bit of lead in the form. But look, he's a very skilled player, as we've seen. He's been able to retain his status in the 3 years that he's been on the PGA Tour. But he's just every now and again he gets down on himself a bit, and just talking with him, I've been able to sense his frustration. But yeah, that might just give him a little bit of a boost, and certainly despite the fact that he lost his way in the second round, the final round of 66, gives him perhaps a little bit more confidence heading into the last two or three events of the season, including next week's Justin Timberlake tournament, which has been played in Las Vegas.
Yeah, and Bruce, the European Tour event, the Madrid Masters, taken out by the South African Charles Schwartzel.
Yeah, his third victory on the European Tour, won the Spanish Open last year, so he's obviously got a bit of affinity with Spain, as Charles Schwartzel. In the end, he won by 3 over Ricardo Gonzalez from the Argentina, and Pablo Larrazabal, another Spaniard, finishing at 15 under par and 4 shots behind the leader. The best of the Australians, Andrew Tampion, who's playing on the European Tour with only limited status. He's only been able to get a few starts this season. He did win on the Challenge Tour just a few weeks ago. He finished at 8 under, and Marcus Fraser, who was in the lead or thereabouts for quite a bit of this tournament, eventually finished in 21st place. The European Tour will next play in Portugal, then they go to Morocco, and then they have their season-ending Tour Championship, which is the Volvo Masters tournament, essentially. Well, it's the Volvo Masters tournament. It's essentially their Tour Championship. So only a couple more full-field events. The Volvo Masters are restricted field events, so guys like Tampion and a few others really have a bit of work to do. Marcus Fraser is virtually assured of his status for 2009 on the European Tour.
Bruce, what about other scores from the weekend?
Well, there are some very good results from an Australian perspective in India over the weekend. The Delhi Golf Club saw was the venue for the Indian Open, and Liang Wenchong from China produced a brilliant opening round of 60. He was caught and passed a couple of times, but in the end he won by a shot over Darren Beck. Now, this is the young guy from New South Wales who just last weekend won the tournament at Royal Pines, and Robina Woods, the Callaway Pro-Am, the two-day Pro-Am, picked up a cheque for about $18,000 and said afterwards he was rapt to be able to do that because it gave him a bit of funding to be able to travel to India. He went over there and has finished second. And Adam Blythe from Brisbane, originally from Yeppoon, but from Brisbane, finished in third place there. So a couple of Australians doing very well in an Asian Tour event in India over the weekend. In Japan, Brendan Jones has finished sixth at the Canon Open, a last round of 64, which included a hole-in-one. He was on an absolute roll in the last round. I think he picked up about 8 birdies and an eagle and a couple of bogeys, but in the end he finished with 64 and finished 6th, continuing his good form up there. And we were talking about the Espirito Santo, the World Amateur Teams event in Adelaide late last week. Sweden eventually won that by a huge margin over Spain, something like 12 shots, they won that tournament. Australia, a little bit disappointing, in fact very disappointing, finishing in 15th position on their home ground. This week, the Eisenhower Trophy will be played at the Royal Adelaide Golf Club. The Australian team of Rowan Blizzard, Matthew Griffin and Tim Stewart will line up there for the Australians. And as we mentioned last week, a great opportunity for Adelaide, South Australian golf fans to get down to Royal Adelaide Golf Club this week, because we'll be witnessing some of the future stars of the game. There's no doubt about that, not only amongst the Australians, but just about every amateur golfer in the world loves to play the Eisenhower Trophy before they turn professional, and many of the best players in the world have played the Eisenhower before they go on to play for money. So a very good opportunity there. So plenty happening still, Riggers, and I guess we'll be back just before 8 o'clock. The sad news this morning, the news about Sevier Bonsiris.
Yes, absolutely.
The brain tumour issue. I mean, a guy that won 5 majors, won something like 90 tournaments around the world. A magician in so many ways as far as his play. One of the great up and down, as you might say. He was able to get the ball up and down from all sorts of places. And, you know, really one of the classiest players around. And so let's hope that when they do the biopsy on the tumour that it's able to be sorted out, because it's not sounding too promising at the moment.
Well, Bruce, if anything, he's a fighter, and we wish him in our thoughts all the very best. And our prayers are with him and his family, of course, and we're sure he'll come through with flying colours.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we'll be back just before 8 o'clock, Riggers, and wrap up some of these tournaments that are still going on.
Okay, Bruce, talk to you then. Thank you, Bruce Young, on Radio TAB. Yeah.